a martini, shaken, not stirred.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Houston, we have a problem.
I'm the king of the world!
Do or do not. There is no try.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
I'm your number one fan.
And here we go.
John, baby. Yeah. Brighter than this thing around, baby. It's a party every time you come around, baby. Now if you're down, baby, I can be the ground, baby. Hit me running.
Welcome, all film fans, to another bonus edition of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I am joined with Edward.
What's up, folks? How y'all doing?
Good, good, man. How are you doing?
Not too shabby, not too shabby.
It is another week and another Thursday evening as we talk Friday the 13th, Part 4. This Friday the 13th bonus series continues to evolve and keep going. Man, we are talking a lot of Jason lately, and a lot of killing.
I know, right? I mean, not an extreme ton of gore just because of the rating thing, but a decent amount. Decent amount.
How have you been through this thing, man? Like we've talked, you know, every episode past, and you know, this has been for you a visit down memory lane. But it's been a while since you've seen these, right?
Most of them, yeah.
Yeah. This first one, and if this is your first time listening to this Thursday or this bonus edition of the podcast, this is just a 45-minute conversation of just me and Ed sitting back, chilling, hanging out, drinking hot chocolate, getting ready for some pumpkin spice and some fall kind of weather. But no, we're these bonus episodes have been really taking off. We're gonna talk some Friday the 13th. Literally, just we sit back, chill, and dig into the episode and dig into the movie.
Yep.
Unlike our episodes on Mondays that get released, our two-hour episodes, you know, you get a full spiel of conversations and recent watches and a top five every single week. And then it's plugged with, like, all of our great sponsors. So if you want to know who we're sponsored by, just go check us out on the social media page, which on social media are you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast, or just Facebook search The Cinnamon Movie Podcast and we'll pop right up. You can also click that Learn More button and it'll take you straight to our shop and you can buy our exclusive podcast mug and help support the show. And then you can find us on the Instagram page is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. And then the Twitter is at Cinnamon405.
Man, I'm sorry, but I gotta go ahead and like backtrack just 30 seconds for you. That water cup mug, whatever you want to call the thing, is beautiful. I love that little
like
thing.
It?
I think it's wonderful.
It's nice and glossy.
And that ticket stub with all of that, I was just, when I first got to see that, I was like, oh my god.
Now streaming since 2018.
Yeah, I know, right?
And speaking of since, we're getting ready to celebrate our 3-year anniversary, and we're gonna. What better way? I mean, last year we did our top five plus five greatest movies of all time that, you know, is near and dear to our hearts, and that's how we celebrated year two. Year three is a little bit different, and this year we're going to do a revisioned review of Psycho. Psycho was our very, very first episode, and, you know, I think we did the movie justice, but now we're going to do it with our new format and a new spin of things.
And not only that, but two extra hosts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're bringing the entire Cine Crew on. Literally, yeah. It was just me and you back then.
That's true.
You know, it was just us. Not too long after that, Zach came along. And then, you know, we incorporated Craig not too long after Zach, for that matter.
But we and Craig go way, way back. So,
oh, yeah.
So, and honestly, it's going to be fun to have him there talking about it. Craig was in the actual sit-down watching of Psycho.
Right.
He came over that day and, you know, trying to see how everything was set up. And, you know, yeah, he didn't get to stay for it, but he was there watching it and, you know, trying to see what everything was going to be about. And it's just so fun all these years later, you know, going from like a handful of listeners and a handful of downloads to now going close to almost 7,000 a week.
Oof,
and all over the country. We're getting emails from all over the world, guys. So keep sending those emails in. It almost kind of like brings me to tears sometimes when I sit down and read some of these emails, because some of them I have to skip over because I can't read them because of the different languages.
Dude, oh my god. We need to get like a translating thing for that.
And then some of them, you know, some of them I just haven't had time to sit and open them because of, you know, work schedule being so hectic, life. And then, you know, doing two episodes now a week is...
We're a little packed.
Yeah, we're a little packed, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Honestly, no, just because of how fun and just exciting this is. This is like, it kind of tops off every week for me. Well, for the main episodes, at least, it tops off almost every week for me. So I've got to say, I love doing that, coming in, whether it's just me and you, me, you, Craig, me, you, Zach, or all four of us, for that matter. I love doing that, and I love being here. I've hated to miss some of the episodes that I have, but at the same time, you know, I had some personal stuff go on in some of it. So, yeah, you know, can't wait for Zach's return from his personal things and going from there. So,
Yeah, it's just going to be a fun episode. And, you know, if you guys haven't listened to our last episode last week or earlier this week, we talked The Matrix Reloaded. And honestly, it was a fun conversation. I went into watching The Matrix and I was just like, I'm not going to enjoy this movie. I kind of... you know, was having some feels, but I ended up enjoying the watch. I gave it a 7,
yeah,
like everybody else did, and it was just a fun conversation. So if you guys want to, you know, maybe we could make your decision. You know, and I've had this happen too before. A lot of people have hated the movie that we're getting ready to talk about.
Yeah.
They'll watch the movie, then listen to us, and they're kind of bump up their score a little bit.
Yeah, because literally...
Or we change the way they look at the movie.
Right, and I mean, or bring some stuff to light, or kind of throw one of our, like, theories or fan bookings or whatever you want in there. And, yeah, like you just said, kind of changes their perspective a little bit. Maybe they didn't think about it or see it. And honestly, sometimes whenever I'm listening to y'all, I'm like, holy shit. You know, in the middle of an episode, I'm like...
Changes your whole thought on the movie.
Yeah, it really does. Or on a couple scenes that may impact the movie even more or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh yeah. So.
But no, we're getting ready to get into Friday the 13th Part 4. It's going to be a fun episode. You guys can also find us on any social media. Like I said, all of our link trees are in the bios on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It takes you to all of our episodes. You can go back and listen to any episode in the archives on Podbean, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, TuneIn, Stitcher, Deezer, Player FM, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast at, you can find the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. So let's dig into it, man. Friday the 13th, Part 4, had a 6 out of 10 rating on IMDb, 19% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the Google percentage users had 89% liked about it. The budget was $2.2 million, and it grossed $33 million at the box office. And it came out April 13th, 1984.
Hell yeah.
And it stars Corey Feldman, Crispin Glover, Kimberly Beck, Ted White, Eric Henderson. And it is the fourth installment of the Jason franchise.
Man, okay. So Corey Feldman, I didn't know he was in this at first because I didn't go onto Google just before I watched the movie. But I was like, okay, you know, I think that's him. I'm not sure. And then all of a sudden I seen Crispin Glover and I'm just like, who the fuck is that? Like, why do I recognize him so freaking much? And yeah, Marty McFly's dad. I was like, oh shit. Okay.
And, you know, on paper, this one has probably the best cast out of all of them.
Yeah. Or at least a couple the biggest names out of all of them easily. Yeah.
But I think this was one of Corey Feldman's first movies.
Yeah, because after this, he done The Goonies.
Yeah, and then Lost Boys was in 1987.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did, yeah. And then he was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well, and The Burbs. So, speaking of Friday the 13th Part 4, man, what did you think on that first initial watch? Usually, if you guys are just now joining us, no matter what episode we're doing, whether it's Mondays or Thursdays, you know, I'll go around and ask everybody, you know, how was this watch compared to your first? You remember the first time you seen this one?
Not at all, to be honest.
No?
I really don't.
In a few short words, how did this one live up to you?
Slightly different. It felt more like they were a bit freer to do what they wanted in some instances, for that matter. Because, I mean, Tom Savini, I knew he was coming back.
In this one, yeah.
Oh, man, I know we're going to get into it, but that first kill the friggin' slice and then head turn. I was like, son of a bitch, he's coming back strong.
After being mortally wounded and taken to the morgue, murdered, Jason Voorhees spontaneously revives and embarks on a killing spree as he makes his way back to his home at Camp Crystal Lake. Which, again, I thought we were going to enter Camp Crystal Lake.
And no.
We didn't.
Negative.
But this was considered, this was supposed to be the final Friday.
Right.
Hence the final chapter. Going into the movie, were you kind of confused? Like, okay, why are they calling it the final chapter? We know that there's like nine more left.
No, not really. Because, I mean, honestly, they were, if I'm not mistaken, this was supposed to end it all.
Yeah.
But then there's some theories out there that I've heard that are kind of crackpot-ish. And there's some that I've heard that make a little sense, but yeah, because there's like one that supposedly Tommy went on to be the next Jason, like he was transferable or something, like Chucky or some shit. I mean, there, you know, it's kind of a thing of the same thing with like Michael, Chucky, you know, kind of all of those guys, even Scream later on for that matter. But I mean, Scream was just different people pulling off copycats of a movie that, yeah. So I mean.
But even yeah. I mean, we'll see Tommy again. He's in episode. He's in the part five.
Yeah.
But obviously, has played as a different actor, because he's like in his 20s, I think. And then he's again in part six, if I'm not mistaken.
And Tommy so far is the only one to kind of successfully kill Jason.
Well, yeah, because this was supposed to be the end.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the ending. Yeah, you mentioned the first kill, you know, the head turning of the guy.
The fucking A, the pervy morgue guy.
And I don't know what it is about horror movies, and every time they're in a morgue or a crazy hospital, there's always that one pervert nurse or that pervert just...
Well, I mean, you know, so what we're talking about, if you've never seen it, so two EMS workers come in with Jason's body and all that, and they're like, hey, you know, here's this one, is this the last one and all that, blah, blah, blah. And so they're kind of making an exchange. The morgue guy is signing papers, and then all of a sudden he's like, they start talking about a different body over there, and he's like, yeah, she's pretty cute. And he's like, well, one of the EMS workers is like, well, she was, you know, and he's like, and the doctor basically looks over at her like, I still think she is. So, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, automatically creepy right there. Automatically creepy. But, you know, the nurse seemed non-messed up about it. So, yeah, I guess there's that. Plus his little aerobics video, you know?
I got to say, so far, too, out of all the first four movies, this is the best movie poster, I think, out of any of the first four films.
Yeah.
With the hockey mask, just chilling in the background with the machete going through the eye.
Well, I mean, I like, too, with the silhouette, for that matter. Or, yeah, but I mean, you know, different ones kind of stand out a little bit. But yeah, this is definitely a really, it's plain, it's simple, but at the same time, it gets its point across. It really does, so...
Did you enjoy, because they kind of keep Jason a little bit more hidden in this one until like after 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You see just the hands killing. They kind of take it back to the original with that first point of view.
Yeah.
Killings. Then you have like the chubby girl with the banana, her death.
Hitchhiker or whatever.
Yeah. Which, her little sign. Yeah.
Tom Savini was the one that actually walked up to her and basically initiated that whole thing, because those were like his legs basically walking up to her. I thought that was really cool. That
every, you know, I think I saw that too. Like every kill that wasn't full body Jason was Tom Savini.
Yeah, I was just like, that's pretty kick ass right there, that you get to play your monster creation, you know.
Yeah, I saw in some interviews that he was like really proud that, you know, he's the one that got to create the monster and, you know, do some of the very first, you know, special effects for Friday.
Yeah.
And then he was able to, at the time, they thought they were going to put it to rest. So,
which, I mean, you know, yeah, kind of cool thing, honestly, to kind of, so supposedly do big bookends to your character, or your creation. So that's actually really, really cool right there. Yeah.
Going through this, did you believe in any of the hype? Because, you know, whether it be reviews or IMDb ratings, this is one of the higher rated movies of the Friday franchise. Were you kind of like, I don't see why it's liked, or were you the opposite?
Kind of the opposite. I mean, honestly, I see why it's liked. It does have a bit different of a feel to a small point. I mean, you got a few actors that kind of went on to do some memorable things and all that. So there's that. But at the same time, like I said just a bit ago, I felt like they were a little bit, not lenient, but a little bit more able to do some of the stuff that they actually wanted to do with some of the kills and all that stuff, get a little gory and a little bit more gruesome for that matter. So it was kind of cool.
So when did you like most of the, to me, it didn't really pick up until like probably 45, 50 minutes into the movie. Usually some of these, so far, some of these Friday the 13th movies have been kind of fun throughout. But this one, you know, I remembered liking this one, but this recent watch of it, I did not enjoy anything until the last 45 minutes. After 45 minutes.
Because like the first, of course, you come into the death scene of Jason from the third movie and all that shit. And then you pick up the body and all that. And then they come in, the pervy morgue doctor and his little nurse. And
this one does introvert 1, 2, 3 and the beginning of 4 all at the beginning.
Right, right. So, you know, little different of a nuance there with more than just the one movie. But I thought The Hitchhikers was a little random. I mean, I guess, you know, kind of, sort of not.
Because there's two of them in this one.
Yeah, there's a guy and then a woman. So
the guy hunting bears and then the weird looking
woman eating the banana.
Yeah.
That squeezed the shit out of
Let me talk about that death scene right quick. Because if you want to talk a weird kind of just, I don't know. I thought that scene was a little over the top. I don't know about you, but... So we're going to talk about, I mean, we're not going to sit here and, you know, scene by scene play out this whole movie.
Yeah.
But I do want to just touch on the basis that it is an interesting topic of discussion that this was supposed to be the final Friday.
Yeah.
That being said, with it being called part 4, the final Friday, or the final chapter, what did you think? Did you think it would have been a great way to just end the entire franchise? Even though they brought Tom Savini back and, you know... The machete through the eye. I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but I did not enjoy it, especially with that supposed to being the last end. You pretty much just got the machete through the eye, and then, you know, Tommy just sits there and just whacks him.
Die, die, die.
Yeah.
Oh, no. But
looked like something out of The Simpsons.
Oh, God. Die, bots, die. So you've got that going on, and it's kind of just like, it wouldn't have been a bad ending, but at the same time, it's kind of just, you build up this character, and he had a decent story in the first two movies, but a horrible costume in the second movie, and you just drop him on his ass. I mean, honestly, yeah, the kill's nice and all that shit.
But I mean, he did have some pretty fun kills in this one.
Yeah.
And then the way he looked, he did look like, you know, that classic version of Jason. Yeah. I will say I did like the way he looked in this movie.
So yeah, the last two movies honestly really cultivated what Jason was going to go on and be remembered as, rather than Sackface, but there's that.
What did you think of him just being that brute of a enforcer in this movie?
Loved
it. You got the full Jason in this movie.
Like, this was the role that kind of pretty much started the immortalization of Jason. I mean, yeah, 3 was not bad at all, but this one just brought out more that, you know, he's a hulking badass that doesn't care about anything.
Corey Feldman also being in this movie, I'm not saying he was probably really, really well known at the time when he was in this.
Right.
But a year later when Goonies came out, it kind of probably helped this movie in the long run.
More than likely, just because, you know, his starting fame, and then people wanted to know what movie was in prior and all that stuff. So it did probably help at least to a small degree for that.
And then same thing probably with Crispin Glover.
Very true.
So
very true.
He's another one that was, you know, part of that teen culture that just blew up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's funny saying that he ended up playing like Michael J. Fox's dad and
basically, yeah.
In the
Back to the Future
movies. But man, I don't know. For some reason, I don't know if it's just because I overread some of the high ratings of this movie. I didn't enjoy it this time around like I thought I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, sometimes that is kind of how the cookie crumbles.
The last 25 minutes probably was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
I just feel like you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs the first hour because you're going through the naked. There's more naked scenes in this one than there has been in any of the other movies.
Yeah, but that's kind of the whole slasher trope, you know.
It is. Naked, horny, I know, teenage kids. Yeah, and I know it gets worse as the movies go on.
Because, I mean, they're wrong. You've got, I mean,
you got the shower scene. You got the lake scene.
But kind of how, you know, we like to joke around and shit like that. All the pervy jokes and all the little bullshit throughout the entire movie, for that matter, up until, you know, the killing kind of gets off on its own tangent. But, you know, I mean, because basically, like, don't get me wrong, not trying to be whatever with this, but you got every other woman basically no bra, which probably was more the thing at the time. And then, you know, you've got really short shorts, you know, on almost every one of them. You've got the twins and stuff like that. You've got...
Is Ted the one who was like the kind of the cool, slicked back one who was like always trying to get in everybody's underwear?
Yes, yes. And
he kind of looked like, is it Jay Burchell?
Jay Burchell, yeah.
Or no, Justin Long. He looks like Justin Long.
Oh, yeah. That's
from
right.
From Jeepers
right.
Creepers.
Yes. Jeepers Creepers, Waiting.
Yeah, I kept thinking every time I was looking at him, and they're not nowhere near related, but Lawrence Monson. Is plays Ted, and like in that movie, yeah, he looks just like Justin Long.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, yeah, he actually really does. You know, and I mean, you've got one dude, which Ted, going around and using the same pickup line on like what four different females, which, you know, and both two of them being both of the twins, for that matter, which I mean. You know, kind of sometimes some guys have that shtick that they have that one line that they think works all the time, but it almost never does. So there's that kind of funny shit.
What did you think of the main actress in this one, Trish, who ends up being, she's the older sister of Tommy, right?
Yes, yes.
And then you have the mom who's in there as well. But that's one thing that I saw that I was kind of interested in. Like, you never see the mom's death or her demise.
Well,
in the bonus features, you see that, you know, there's a deleted scene that didn't make it to the movie that you see her dead in the bathtub. But even then, even though it was a deleted scene, that was still like a premonition or a dream.
Dream sequence.
Because at the end of 1, 2, and 3, the victims have like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I've even heard callbacks to like those nightmares have something to do with Freddy and stuff like that. But
which maybe that was the inspiration to do Freddy vs. Jason, but
maybe. I don't know. But I know we'll talk about it then.
So you've had nightmares like that? No, I'm just kidding.
I have, actually.
Oh shit. Yeah. Oh shit. But I mean,
going back to Trish, yeah, who was played by Kimberly Beck. Yeah. Other than maybe Amy Steele from Part 2. I would say she's probably one of the better lead actresses going into the Friday movies.
Yeah. I can agree with... Oh, shit. Sorry. I can agree with that.
Dying over there?
No. Free name. I could agree with that. It kind of feels like she was a bit more... I don't know. Maybe prepared or... Like, they knew what they wanted to do with her a bit more, maybe.
I got news for you, though. Coming up after this one.
Oh,
I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's going to be fun getting into it and talking about it. But yeah, some of the reviews for the next 5 are not very good.
Next 5 of them?
Yeah, well, we still have Part 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Jason X, Freddy vs. Jason, and then the 2003 version.
But a New Blood, man. No, 2009.
2009, yeah, I'm way off.
Hey, you're good. 6 years, that's all. That's all. Let's see. What was your... I know we're going a little ahead, but what was your favorite kill on this? What would be your favorite kill?
My favorite kill, honestly, would probably be... You know, fuck it. I'm going to say the killing of Jason. It's supposed to be the final Friday, and it's supposed to be Jason getting his. And even though I didn't like the way he went out...
Fair.
I would probably... That's the most memorable one. Every that's the thing. This movie is so, I don't know why people say that this is their favorite. This one was so easily forgettable for me.
Do you think part of the reason that people say it's their favorite is because of who these actors, probably, a couple of these actors went on to be?
And then maybe the way Jason looks. He looks the part in this. He does look like Jason. The
brooding badass that's just a freaking
brute. But psycho. Honestly, I didn't get any love from the score. I didn't like any of the tunes from the score. It sounded like a cheesy 80s video game. I didn't enjoy. Some of the kills were just not memorable for me. The twist of the neck, but what, that's the first one?
Yeah.
Everything else seems downhill. I didn't like the big bitch squeeze the banana. I didn't like that kill. And then everybody else just kind of had like stuff thrown at them?
Well, I've got to say one kill that I thought was kind of brutal as hell was the, I forget his name, but the one in the lake by the one who found the Doublemint twin in the raft.
Okay, I forgot about the raft one. I would probably say that the girl dying in the raft was probably one.
Well, no, I'm saying the guy.
The guy who found her?
Yeah, and then he gets the spear basically shoved up his dick. And then he pulls the trigger, which, what the fuck is that doing? But there's that. I thought that was kind of just like, oh, shit. Like, ow.
And then you have the guy who looks like he could be Jason, but he's hunting a bear.
Yeah.
Which, I swear, his name was what, Doug?
Yeah.
Played by Peter Barton. When he was helping Trish with her car, I was like, this is exactly how a softcore porn starts out. That's exactly what's about to happen. Corey Feldman was about to get his, or he was going to be shoved in the trunk.
Shit.
I don't know, but I got just some really cheesy... You know, and I know that's what some of these movies are, but, I mean, I didn't think this was going to be that rough of a watch for me, honestly.
I mean, it depends. It really does depend.
Because even old
Crispin Glover.
No, Ted. Right? Yeah, even old Ted getting his finally when he was watching the old silent, dirty movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, he didn't have a memorable death.
No.
What do you think? I was going to bring this up. Because Jason's mom did it in the original one.
Yeah.
What do you think of the killer? Some movies do it still. What do you think of the killer displaying their bodies at the very end? Like, oh, there's a dead body in every corner that you turn. Do you think that it gets overused?
Somewhat, but I mean it's...
Or does it work in these movies?
Well, with this one, it was kind of like the victory lap for the final girl. You know what I mean? Like, she got to see all the little jump scares from the dead bodies and shit. So it was just like a victory lap for her because she's the one who survives. Or, well, mainly survives.
Well, they did that in the original one, too, though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So this is four iterations, basically. Basically. I mean, if it gets overused, yeah, I would agree it does. I do. But at the same time, like, it's kind of a thing that is a trope, kind of a usual suspect in these movies, I guess you could say, just because it's kind of what's expected to be kind of seriously honest, but yeah.
What did you think of the dog?
The dog straight, I mean... Loved the dog. Thought it was hilarious because the dog was just like, all right, bitches, I'm out. I'm not doing this.
But it looks like he got pushed out the window. They got the dog. The dog looks like he jumped out the window. But Jason was upstairs with him. I think it was meant to look like Jason threw him out the window.
Well,
because you don't see the dog anymore after that scene.
No, part of it was because, okay, so I actually watched some behind-the-scenes stuff with that in particular. And part of it was the trainer... that was outside was trying to get the dog to bust through the window and all that. And he did. So there was, that was a cut scene basically. And then they go to the outside. There was a trainer on like underneath the window that actually like gave the dog kind of a little like step ladder in a way. Cause the dog tried multiple times. They tried to get the dogs multiple times to jump out, but the dog never wanted to. So they got the trainer to go ahead and be like a step stool for it. It worked, so that's kind of why it looks like that, but at the same time, I see what you mean, as in, like, oh, they look like they got shoved off or whatever have you, so. Yeah.
I don't know. And then Corey Feldman to me, like if that's one of the main reasons why people enjoy this one, I mean,
he was all right.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I don't think he was like, you know, he didn't make this movie like people maybe think he did.
No, I mean, he was the first main guy to survive.
Yeah, because everyone else up in that point had been female.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was, I guess, a slight difference. But, I mean...
But what did you think of Jason's little brawl that he had with Trish? He got on top of her, and they were, like, actually going at it, you know?
That's the first time
that you actually kind of see stuff like that.
Basically, who was the actor that played Jason? I forget on this one, to be honest.
Jason is played by old Ted White.
Yes, Ted White actually told him to go ahead and let me have it. Like, he was like, I wanted it as real as possible. He's like, so yeah, whatever your weapon, you know, as long as it's not a dangerous weapon, let me have it. You know, so yeah, they friggin', some of them stuck it to him, and I think she was one that got comfortable enough with him by probably the end of the movie to kind of actually fight with him a bit.
And does it kind of, I mean, I know we're reviewing the Shout Factory box set.
Yeah.
But does it kind of bother you that these are Paramount movies and they're not on Paramount Plus for people to watch?
No, not at all.
Well, Paramount / New Line Cinema.
Well, you got to think about this. They're going to try and make as much money as they can. And I mean, hey, with horror season coming up soon, they might put them out.
Well, I mean, a new box set did come out. It's got the first 8 films and it's like $29.
Oh, that's not bad.
And it comes with like a digital copy of all 8. But it's only the first 8. You don't get 9 or Jason X. Or any of the other stuff.
Well, I mean, that's not bad, but at the same time, I get what you mean. You'd figure they'd want one or two every now and then. So
yeah, a new box set did come out. It's not a big box set either. It's just a real slim set that I saw that's available now. You still can get the Scream Factory Friday the 13th collection if you like all that artwork and stuff.
Yeah.
Or you can check it out on Star subscription, Hulu premium subscription. Or you can just rent this movie for Google Play and YouTube for $2.99.
Damn.
What do you think, though? I'm going to talk about it with you for a little bit. Do you think the 16% on Rotten Tomatoes is a little harsh?
A little, but I mean, Rotten Tomatoes is fucking weird. I don't know who runs that place, you know? Because literally, some movies, they'll give like a 12 to, and it's like, are you fucking serious? That's at least like a 50 or a 60. And then others, they'll give like an 80. It's like, that's a fucking 15. That fucking sucks, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. We usually kind of go more IMDb, but it's not like we're aligned with them or anything like that. But that's sort of kind of usually how our thought process goes towards is IMDb.
That's how our star. Yeah, that's how I came up with our star rating. Like, everybody does like 4 or 5 stars. I was like, let's do 10.
Because, I mean, honestly, 10 is fun. For a while, we were basically saying, fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
We said it last week. I enjoyed Friday the 13th Part 3, and they had it like 9%. Fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
Exactly. So.
I still think this movie is fun. Like I said, the only thing that saves this movie for me is the last 25 minutes.
Right, which I get.
And I enjoy how they tried to hide Jason up until the last few, you know, 15, 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite scenes, though, that you want to talk about before we wrap this up?
I mean, honestly, Trish versus Jason, that always is kind of a standout in my head. Because literally, like, she put up a damn good fight. You know, her focus was not even really on saving herself, but on saving Tommy. But, you know, and then you got Tommy in there fucking being, I don't know, a fucking hairstylist for himself, you know, shaving the shit off. That shit would have hurt if that was real.
Yeah, that's another thing. I like.
I've had to do like a bit of stubble with a 2 or 3 blade razor, and that shit sucks, dude.
Well, I didn't enjoy the just. I don't know. I'm sitting here probably just nitpicking, but I didn't enjoy. He's over here doing a full blown salon in the bathroom, and Jason's over here, you know, almost
giving hands Trish on the business.
Yeah. Putting his hands on his sister, like, well, what's that noise? Jason's like, mind your business.
Mind your business, little fucker. I've got her. It's good. She fucking split my hand.
She's having nightmares. That's what that noise is.
But, you know, it was kind of a thing of, like, you got this kid able to make, you know, professional-looking masks and all that shit.
Did he get the newspaper clippings for the camp killer, Crystal Lake killer, from the hitchhiker's backpack? Or where did he get those newspaper clippings from?
Oh, shit. I think so.
Or were they just in the house? It had to be from It had to be from the hitchhiker, because the hitchhiker was like, I'm hunting bears. I don't think he was really hunting bears. I think he was there looking for Jason.
Probably. I mean, shit, he's hunting the bears still nonetheless.
You know, yeah, pretty much. Motherfucker. You have a better luck hunting a bear.
So he's like, in this movie, he's got to be like, what, 6'2" or something?
I don't know. I didn't get my tape measure. I didn't get my tape measure out.
500 pounds of fuck you. You know?
He's the bear from The Revenant.
Oh, shit. Poor Leo.
Yeah.
Poor Leo. But yeah, I mean, hell, even the... Well, like I just talked about, even the hand splitting scene, that was pretty damn good.
The hand splitting scene was probably one of my favorites too. Yeah. I did make a comment to myself, like, man, this is probably what I miss more about these slasher movies is the physical makeup, the actual physical effects.
The props.
Yeah. Because nowadays there's a lot of CGI, and I'll talk about it on recent watches Monday, but. You know, right now I'm going through the Conjuring movies, and I just got watching 1 and 2, and I'm like, you know what? I kind of forget how good those movies are for horror movies to their days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you think of a lot of horror movies nowadays, and it's more to do with, like, possessions and demons.
Yep.
The slasher era has almost kind of gone away.
Somewhat, but it's still appreciated for what it is.
It is, but, like, nowadays there's not a lot of slasher movies out, and if they are, they're, like, B-rated. You know, movies that nobody sees. Hopefully, Scream 5 can turn that around in January.
I mean, we'll see.
That'll be the first slasher movie. Well, I mean, you got Halloween 2018, and, you know, we'll see how good Halloween Kills does here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
But
other than that, you've got the new Chucky and then the 2009's Jason remake.
And I don't know how well it'll do at the box office this weekend, but we'll talk about it again on Monday as Candyman comes out this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So actually, if you're listening to this on Friday morning, it comes out today or Thursday night. You know, there's probably a midnight showing somewhere. I wish I could. I honestly might try to go see it Friday.
Hey, you never know. But I mean, yeah, that's one thing that just I don't know, because it's I get it was like a 70s, 80s kind of thing. And everybody's doing like, oh, you know, camera tricks or. Like you said, CGI or all this shit like Unfriended, Countdown or some shit like that, to where apps and internet is killing people, or you've got the Paranormal Activity or whatever have you. But I mean, yeah, that's one kind of genre that's really not touched on anything new, especially in probably the past, what, Scream was... What, 96, 95? Yeah, so I mean, 96 was really the last, you know, hurrah for a new
also slasher. Did enjoy the scene where the goody two-shoe almost didn't want to get in the lake.
And
her friend was like, I'll hold my breath until you get in here. I kind of enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
So, I mean, right there, like I was saying, that right there, that's been 25 years since Scream actually really came out, quarter century for that matter. And, I mean, that's the thing, like, not many new things that are new killers or new slashers are coming out that's going to be iconic. Because, I mean, Paranormal Activity might be for how it was shot, how low the budget was and shit, but... I mean, are we really going to remember fucking, I don't know, what the, I mean, hell, Countdown, Unfriended, fucking, you know, a lot, I kind of like how they were trying to start the, what was it, with the tall, pale-faced motherfucker. Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to start the creepypasta thing.
That movie just fell flat on its fucking face.
Yeah. I kind of thought that was a cool idea and a cool
I enjoyed initiative. The Bye-Bye Man more than I did Slender Man.
Right. I mean, honestly, like, I just think, like, Slender Man is a big-time character in that part of horror, I guess. But it definitely wasn't executed correctly.
What are you trying to get at, though?
There's been no true good characters in probably the last 25 years, man, since Scream came out. I mean, you know, Ghostface is.
And you're not including the reimaginations of Chucky or Jason or Michael.
And I mean, I'm just saying, like,
talking about just a true original idea character,
like the OG of, you know, all those characters, because, you know, you've got, you know, Jason back in what, 82 technically.
You're just saying that's what you're trying to say, is there hasn't been a just original creepy character since.
And yeah, and 96. I mean, that's the thing, like, that you can actually put a franchise around, you know. Saw, I guess, but then Saw kind of, I felt, lost its shit after 3 or 4.
I wouldn't say that.
No.
I honestly have enjoyed, I've rewatched them here recently, and I've honestly enjoyed just the depth of what, because you could almost look at Saw and say, yeah, they're grotesque and gruesome, but it's almost like no different than Scream 2 or 3 or 4, how they're just doing a copycat. There's a copycat killer out there who's reimagining Jigsaw's idea.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, maybe Jigsaw is the most modern one then. From what, 2001, 02?
Somewhere around there.
So, I mean, maybe that's the...
So, favorite scenes off... You got favorite scenes off your chest? Man, yeah. I would probably say... if I had to say some favorite scenes, it would probably be... Who doesn't like some old skinny dipping scenes from a Friday the 13th movie? Probably, I thought it was funny. Trish takes the dog and goes and looks for Jason, or goes and looks for her mom, and leaves the old little boy in the house alone.
Fucking older siblings, man. I'll tell you, we're assholes.
This was kind of a rough watch for me, honestly. But I'm gonna let you get into the star rating, Ed. If you had to give this movie a star rating, what are you gonna give it?
I'd probably do a 6. A 6 sounds good to me.
I thought you liked it a lot.
No, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just, yeah. Kind of a hyped one that lives up more to it than usual. But yeah, I'll give it a 6.
Would you watch it again?
Yeah, I'd watch it again.
I'm going to give this movie a 5.
Yeah.
I really, really thought I was going to enjoy it a little bit more than I did, but I couldn't get through the first hour, just really, really dragged. If anything, if I bumped it up to anything, it would be a 6. But I'm gonna leave it at a 5, just because I don't know how rough it would be to just sit here and rewatch it. But yeah, I'm giving Friday 13th Part 4 a 5.
There we are. So 11 out of 20.
Whatever that means.
Combined scores.
Go check it out if you want to see it, and send us in your emails. Is this movie as bad as I think it is, or do you want more lines? Enjoy it out of the entire franchise, or are you like Ed, you know, or kind of just there and you kind of enjoy a little bit of it? So send us in some emails at cinnamon921@gmail.com, and we will read them over the episode Monday when we talk Promising Young Woman.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Have you seen that movie yet?
I have not.
Check it out. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun conversation. It's kind of like a suspense thriller comedy kind of like. It's kind of all in one. Nominated for a bunch of Oscars last year, so I think it'll be a fun conversation.
All right. Sounds good to me then.
So other than that, man, do you have anything that you want to put the final nail in the coffin with Jason and the final Friday?
Let's see what the next one goes ahead and... concerns itself with. So yeah, this is Ed saying I'll see you on the silver screen.
So don't forget, guys, check us out Monday as we talk Promising Young Woman, August 30th, and then join us next Thursday for the first episode of September as we talk Friday the 13th Part 5. Speaking of Friday the 14th podcast, go check them out, guys. They're some good dudes, and they love to talk all things horror. They have an episode come out every other Friday. So go check them out, Friday the 14th podcast. I'd like to see some of their thoughts on some of these movies that are Friday the 13th. But this is Juan saying I will see you guys next week and talk to you guys next Monday, August the 30th, Promising Young Woman, right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.